Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. Allergy season is here, and that means one thing. You need the Thunderstorm. Save on their lowest price with code word Howie at EdenPure.com.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
And we're back. I'm Holly Robichaud, filling in for Grace Curley today. If you'd like to be part of the conversation, use your First Amendment rights, give us a call at 844-500-4242. And before the break, we are talking about, are you so happy that the masks are on? Did you go out this weekend? One of the things I'm seeing out there every place over the weekend was that people are dying for employees. I'm understanding that there's a whole bunch of Dunkin' Donuts down in the Cape that are no longer can be open because they just don't have the employees. A lot of restaurants are complaining about it. Now, during this, I know most people, nobody else watches what goes on during the budget debates up there at the State House, but yes, I do watch Bacon Hill. And the Senate Republicans tried a different amendment. They tried to offer a bonus of $1,200 to get people to go back to work. Now, I think that's kind of crazy, and I appreciate the sentiment behind it. I really do. But have some backbone and tell the governor to say no more federal aid, no more little bonuses from the feds, and then maybe you might get some people back to the work. Why should we then? Well, okay, so the feds give this amount for you not to work, and then we're going to give you this amount to work. Come on. Now, my mother always had a great incentive for us to work and get things done. It's called the wooden spoon. And so it seems like my mother's going to get out there with the wooden spoon and start spanking people. Get back to work. Let's go. Right? I mean, she's no-nonsense lady. She's like, you got to do what you got to do. So just going to put it out there. Let's go to the callers. Gary, you're on next with Holly Robichaud. Good afternoon, Gary.
Hey, how are you?
Great.
Yeah, I used to get the wooden spoon and the belt. this country's crazy. I never seen a country go down so hard in 5 months with this president.
I know. Brace for impact. Can we last three more years under this?
This is disgusting. And for all those vets that served for our country that are sleeping outside in this rainy weekend, okay? They need to give the middle finger up to all these people that don't stick up for these guys. You know, it's amazing how we can offer illegal immigrants that just hop a border, okay, and give them whatever they want. They're staying in hotel rooms. These people, these veterans, need to stay in hotel rooms first. We need to take care of our people first. Don't mind me. I'm a little nervous, first-time caller.
Well, I appreciate that, Gary. And you're right that we need to take care of our people first. Gary, you are jumping the gun, though, because I have Sheriff Hodgins going to be on in a couple minutes, and he's going to be talking about what's going on. And then you will not believe this. I'm going to prove Kamala Harris is probably the dumbest person in the Biden administration about what she wants to do to stop illegal immigration. You will not believe it, Gary. So stay tuned and thank you for the call. Russ, you're on next with Holly Robichaud. Good afternoon, Russ.
Holly, I want to look at this from a whole different perspective. First of all, in order to collect unemployment, you have had to have a job in 2019. Now, most who were forced to go on unemployment were productive people who've never really taken advantage of the system. Now, I look at it again from this perspective. If some had taken advantage of this situation for another 3 months, so be it. Why don't we worry more about the people that have been sucking off the government, sucking off the taxpayers and the workers of the United States? with subsidized housing, food stamps, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. No, we don't look to sunset that, do we? The other thing is, these Republicans across the country that have not taken this money, okay? Now, we know what the Democrats do. They never let a good crisis go to waste. Now, if unemployment goes down, the news media is going to spin this, that it's because of Biden's policies why unemployment is so low.
You give me a headache, Russ, on that one.
So many people across the country will get sucked into that. So this is a bad idea. The other thing I want to say,
but we got to get people back to work, though. I mean, even if Biden does get some credit on it, which if we had an honest media, they wouldn't. But even if he does get some credit, don't you believe we've got to get people back to work?
People will go back to work right now. Okay, no one may want to admit this, but people are willing to play a premium, okay, for the help to get a little more money, because they are so desperate to go out and socialize with other people that they will pay a premium for the next 3 months in order to get out the way things used to be. So that'll happen automatically, even if they have to pay a premium.
Well, I'm worried about the businesses, because, as you know, Russ, the businesses are the ones that are paying the unemployment insurance fund to pay these employees. And so they have been devastated over the past year with the shutdowns and the mandates. And now we can't even give them a break by saying to people they got to get back up to out to work and cutting off unemployment. When every business, I mean, I can't think of a business that I've been to over the past 48 hours that didn't have a sign up, help wanted. I mean, how much more do these businesses have to take, Russ?
The last year and 2 or 3 months, whatever the hell it's been, they'll survive the next 3 months. Believe me, they will. If they've survived.
I hope so, Russ. I hope so. So, Jared, let's go to, there was one clip in here that I just couldn't believe Baker had to say. Okay, number 15. Can we go to number 15?
I mean, honestly, I've said before that this was the most difficult thing I've ever done in my professional career. Usually in management jobs, there are
management
good answers. It's pretty unusual to end up in a situation where you're constantly faced with a whole series of least worst choices.
Really, Charlie, this has been the hardest. Try being a private sector employee. Try being a private sector business owner where you're trying to make a living. You put your livelihood on the line. You're working every day for this. And the government tells you, you can't open up. Then the government tells you, you can only have 25% of what you used to have in there. And the government tells you, oh yeah, got to put up plexiglass. You got to have hand sanitizer. You got to have this regulation. You got to have that regulation. You got to have somebody that counts how many people go into your business. You try being that. And Governor, I don't recall you taking a pay cut during all of this. Does anybody, Jared, did he take a pay cut?
I don't believe that he did.
And I don't think Karen did either. Huh?
No.
Nope. I don't think so. But you know what the legislature did last week? Most people didn't see this story. They gave a 6% pay raise to legislative aides and a $500, they say stipend, I say bonus, to all of the aides because they needed to offset the costs of working from home. What? Isn't it cheaper to work from home? I would think so. Why are we giving them a $500 bonus for working from home? I mean, you don't have the commuting expenses. You know, you're taking a couple hours off of your life, you know, as far as commuting into the state house and out of the state house. If you take the T, you take the train, you're saving on that. Why do they need a $500 bonus? I don't get that. I mean, did you get a $500 bonus?
Yeah, I did not.
Right. I mean, this is ridiculous. And I couldn't believe that Baker's like, this has been the most difficult part of my career, right? You didn't take a pay cut. Maybe if you'd taken a pay cut and you'd furloughed people like the rest of us. But this has been a private sector shutdown, not a public. Nobody in the public sector has suffered like the rest of us in the private sector. Okay, let's go to cut number 16. This one scares the crap out of me.
I think it's pretty, I mean, unless something very odd happens, I would say that it is pretty much over. But I've learned with the COVID virus that the last thing you should ever do is presume you know everything it is to know about it. Because that's one other thing I would say about the past years. The facts on the ground were constantly changing. And the knowledge base that we were all operating on was constantly changing. And for that reason, you know, I would put an asterisk on anything that says it's over.
Okay? There it is. The asterisk, right? That it's over. It's not over. Charlie Baker's leaving his foot out there going, I got a toe in this. We can still shut you down. We can still send you back to masks. We can still not have the kids go back to school. If you want to go to a Patriots game, I think I might have something to say on that. This is Charlie Baker. It scares me. With all the people that I saw out there this weekend not wearing masks, they seem to be really happy. If you don't want to go back to masks, you better let the governor know, because I think he still wants to do it. So I'm scared. If we see one extra case, I think he's going to be like, oh, there you go. We got to shut it all down. Close the beaches. Close everything. I just fear. I'm keeping my fingers crossed. It's looking good. It's looking good. But who do we have to thank for opening up our country? When we come back, we'll be discussing that, because I have a theory. I'm Holly Robichaud, filling in for Grace Curley. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Patriotic music on this Memorial Day, thanking all those veterans who sacrificed so much to protect our freedoms, which were under assault, and have a little backbone and be able to post on Facebook and Twitter your thoughts of protecting our First and Second Amendment rights and our country. Hey, Jared, we got the poll question. Today's poll question is brought to you by the Howie Car Show car store. Need a gift for Father's Day? Go to HowieCarShow.com, click on store, and browse through all the cheap bastard deals, which are always great, including the deals on camping, landscaping, car washes, firearm courses, and more. Don't forget to pick up a couple of Howie Car books while you're there. They're terrific books. Your father will love them. Go to HowieCarShow.com and click on store to get your dad the perfect gift this Father's Day. Jared, what is the poll question and how are we doing on it?
Poll question is, who should shut up? Dr. Fauci, Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, AOC, or Prince Harry?
And what are the results so far?
Dr. Fauci is in the lead at 42%.
Really?
Second place at 18% is AOC. 16% say Joe Biden. 13% say Prince Harry. And only 11% say Kamala Harris should shut up.
Oh, okay. So I disagree with that result on the Dr. Fauci. I think he should continue to talk. And here's what I every time he talks, he's digging his own grave. Don't you agree on that, Jared?
Absolutely.
Right.
Or not he's under oath when he says something.
Right. I mean, I think he has some explaining to do. So if you're listening to this, I'm sure you're pretty much anti-Fauci out there. But do you think his days are numbered? That could be another poll question. How many days do you think Fauci has left on him? He's the highest paid employee in the federal government, which is just scary. I mean, he has been there for seven presidents. I mean, I guess we need term limits for his job. That would be my suggestion. So we're, as the world turns on the whole COVID-19, we're seeing that the media now might need to apologize to Senator Tom Cotton and Senator Ted Cruz for basically calling them every names because they said that it looked like the Wuhan lab was you know responsible for COVID, and they called them crazy, and now it's looking like that is probably what happened. But overall, I think there's one person we owe our mask freedom to, and it's not Charlie Parker. It's not Joe Biden. Who do you think is responsible for our mask freedom? Jared?
I don't know on this one. Rand Paul?
Ding, 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 ding. Yes, Rand Paul. That's who I think. I believe that is responsible for our mask freedom. He took Fauci apart piece by piece by piece. And I look forward to having, you know, now Rand is saying we got to get him under oath and getting to testify, which Fauci, that's why I don't want Fauci to shut up. I don't want him to take the fifth. I'm taking the fifth. No. Keep talking. Keep talking, Dr. Anthony Fauci. We want you to keep talking. And we just want to do it under oath so we can go after him. I mean, who would have thought that we sent $600,000, and when you're talking about trillion, but $600,000 to the Wuhan lab. I mean, why is any, I mean, nobody says this, right? Why is any of our taxpayer dollars going to China? Why would we send any money to China, whether it's a lab to study something? But this boggles my mind. So the Obama administration outlaws this type of research in the United States. And Fauci says, well, I'm smarter than Obama, which I can understand. A lot of people think they're smarter than Obama, but not really Dr. Anthony Fauci. But Fauci says, we're going to send money to the Wuhan lab so that they can do this research on strengthening viruses and making it more transmittable between species. That's crazy stuff out there, why he would do this. And now, you know, we find out that he is responsible for a lot of this. Dr. Anthony Fauci once argued that conducting experiments on contagious viruses to increase their potency was worth the risk. Was it, Dr. Anthony? Because I've gone down to the Cape Cod Rotary where they've got, you know, tons and tons of flags of people that died from COVID. Now, I do believe a lot of it was overestimated on the deaths of COVID because they classify everybody, whether they had cancer or they had a heart disease, as COVID deaths. But was it worth the risk? Was it worth ruining our economy, Dr. Fauci? I want to know some of these answers. And so I'm hoping Rand Paul's going to get them to testify again, why we sent one dime to China, and which begs the question, look, if Trump was there right now, don't you think Trump would be saying, we better find out if there are any other monies going to labs outside of our country funding this stuff? Now, I always thought anyways, I'll come back to this later, but this drives me crazy. I'm Holly Robichaud, filling in for Grace Curley. Stay tuned. We've got Sheriff Hodgkins up next.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Good afternoon. I'm Holly Robichaud, filling in for Grace Curley today. If you'd like to be part of the conversation, hey, give us a call at 844-500-4242. But as promised, we have the mighty sheriff who fights against illegal immigration every single day on the line with us. Happy Memorial Day, Sheriff Tom Hodgins, and thank you for taking time out of your day.
Holly, thanks so much for having me on, and to all the families out there who lost their loved ones or sacrificed. In the name of freedom for all of us, I just want to say thank you. And, of course, we honor and salute all our veterans today on this important day of recognition of what we as Americans have been given and how important it is that we don't disgrace that by by not taking the time and recognizing what their sacrifices were all about.
Oh, most definitely. Sheriff, you've been in the news again. ICE is coming after you, shutting down your detention center. I mean, can they do that?
Well, they've done it, but here's the problem with this, Holly. You know, I think everybody knows well now the reputation of Secretary Mayorkas is, you know, lack of credibility when he's looked the American people in the eye on numerous occasions and said to us, while we're watching thousands pour in over the border and more drugs pouring into our neighborhood, more transnational gangs coming into our neighborhoods, that he said, the border is secure. There's no crisis here. And I can't help but I'm always reminded of the scene in The Wizard of Oz where, you know, the guy says, pay no attention to what's behind that curtain. And that's exactly what's been done here, right? And this is what this administration's about. And what's really outrageous about this, how dare he malign my staff who have for over 20 years been doing ICE detention? I'm not even talking 287 or 287G program yet. And in over 20 years, we have never, ever failed any audit by the federal auditors that are the subject matter experts that inspect us at least once a year, not the least of which happened, and we had the same outcome 1 week before he suddenly, in the flash of a pan, shut down our operation with not even a full day's notice. I get a call at 8:30. They take all my people's credentials away, have people come down. And that was to create an optic that really is behind the whole story. What they want to do is they want to cripple ICE, break apart our partnership so that we can't maximize our ability to keep the citizens of our community safe by not releasing people back out into our neighborhoods that have been arrested by local police or that ICE have grabbed or asked us to hold, who have serious criminal histories. And then they want to just allow them right back out in the community and prevent us from doing our jobs. And you watch and see. And I'm telling all these listeners and everybody out there, watch and see. This was the beginning of them trying to create an optic of a bigger agenda they have. Because, number one, he owes my people an apology, my staff, for maligning them in a national publication, number one, to advance his political agenda, the president's political agenda. And on top of that, what's real interesting, Holly, we also run the 287G program, and we're also doing all the transportation for the air ops to New York and also for Plymouth to be able to get their detainees because Plymouth can't do the transport part. So, but for the 287G program, there's a plaque right now sitting in the Boston office that hasn't been delivered to us yet. And on that plaque, it reads, congratulations, and this is from DHS headquarters, congratulations on your perfect score for your 287G audit that happened this past September. And it's not been delivered to us, and I'm guessing Mayorkas won't deliver it because it completely undermines his false narrative that sadly is putting my people in my county at risk, the people of the Commonwealth at risk, and the people of this nation at risk that otherwise wouldn't have had to been because we had the programs in place and the partnerships that rightfully should be there to keep citizens from being victimized once again.
So with your shutdown, have these people been released back onto our streets? Have they been moved to another, you know, facility for being detained? And what type of crimes have they committed? Should we be worried?
The last seven that we had that we no longer have, I think were transferred to other facilities. A number of the close to 200 that we had in custody had been released over the last, 5 months. By a federal judge, and under the lawsuit that was filed against us by one of the activist organizations at the time, saying that it's too dangerous for these people to be in there, and it's COVID, they're in custody, they shouldn't be in custody. And the truth of the matter is, at the time this lawsuit was filed and the judge began the case, we had no COVID cases. We had none. And that whole incident that happened
last
May...
Well, isn't that self-quarantining, right?
Right, of course.
Right, I mean...
Yeah. And this is the lunacy around this policy. But it's lunacy because they're trying to play us all for dummies. The law enforcement community, the citizens of our community. I mean, how do they stand down and allow what they know is to be an unprecedented amount of fentanyl pouring into our communities now, unfettered, because they're just allowing people to come in, the cartels? Trails that have been closed for 25 years by these down at the border, with cartels coming through with the drugs, are now all being used again. And I've talked to the sheriffs down there. I know a number of them very well. And so what's happening is they're unraveling our ability to keep our citizens safe. And Mayorkas, at a meeting down there, Secretary Mayorkas said to a number of border sheriffs about almost a month ago, he said, we're going to be revamping ICE, and they're going to basically be having a new responsibility that's going to be, he didn't say exactly what. But the bottom line is, this is all about lying to the American people, which he has done, and he continues to do, and to use my organization. I can't believe he picked ours. Ours is the longest serving. Nobody's been more involved in this initiative of dealing with illegal immigrants than I have for over 25 years. So for him to have done that, and for us to have stellar records on all our audits, and then say, well, you know, there's ample evidence that that we're not treating the detainees fairly or appropriately, and our conditions aren't appropriate for immigration detention, is a lie. It's a blatant lie. He'd have to be saying that every one of those federal auditors who've come in over 20 years, who are highly trained for this type of business to audit us, are all liars. You can't have a stellar records for 20 years and suddenly say, oh, we got to shut this down, and we got to shut it down immediately. Take all our equipment in less than a day. Take all our credentials from all our people who are well-trained, top-notch professionals. It's outrageous what they're doing.
It is outrageous. And I fear for, haven't they released some pretty bad dudes back out to on the streets?
Well, the last seven were in our place. I think one was charged with murder. There was another one charged with rape. These people have serious crimes. One guy who they deported, who was in our facility because of this COVID thing, he was actually in on a bombing. He bombed a police station in Ireland. And these people, you know, we've heard these activists.
He's just misunderstood, Tom. He's just misunderstood.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Of course, and Holly, we heard the Attorney General say publicly numerous times that these people that we have in our custody are just civil violations. And so, you know what? She even in her investigation was one of the most inept investigations I have ever seen
by
anybody. Yeah.
Shocking.
And of course, experts in the field of incarceration. She didn't refer to policy people or, you know, subject matter experts. She just decided on her own what her opinion would be based on her her pro-illegal stance that she's had for quite some time. And if you remember, when she was on the border, she was on the Mexican side of the border. She was on the Mexican side of the border telling the people there, the families, why she thought it was wrong that they weren't allowed to just come into the country illegally. And here I am I'm at the McAllen processing station trying to figure out from Border Patrol how much worse is it going to be in our communities? What can we do to work with them to try to prevent more drugs, more gang violence from coming in? And as you know, Massachusetts had the highest influx between 2007 and 2017 of any other state of illegal aliens coming into the country. So for her to be down there encouraging people to come across, she's an attorney general, and she's suggesting that somehow the law is not right.
No, she's not the attorney general. She's aspiring governor.
Well, yeah, and that's a whole other problem, because when all of this comes out of what she's actually done and how she's misrepresented the truth about what my people did, that incident in May that happened, that was it. Every single one of those people from the time we breached that door, which was perfectly within the standards of less lethal force. Every one of those detainees within now we're talking 90 seconds here, Holly, 90 seconds. Every one of those detainees was in flex cuffs within 5 minutes. Every one of them had been led out of that building, and not a one of them was hurt during that extraction. So, you know, the three that she cites afterwards and said we gave CPR, first of all, the guy was having a panic attack, number one. The other guy had sore knees, and he didn't go to the hospital until later. And the third guy had had an aortic procedure a year or two earlier, and he just was panicking. He was stressed, stressed out. They all three went to the hospital that afternoon or evening, and all three of them were back that night, no problem.
Oh, wow.
No problem.
Well, Sheriff, I want to thank you for joining us. You do a terrific job. You're my favorite sheriff. How do people follow you, know what you're up to, and show their support for you?
Well, it's not just me. It's sheriffs across this nation. We got elected by the people. We're not going to turn our back on our oath like the rest of these politicians are. They can go to Protect America Now, and you're going to see people from all over this nation who are being educated by the sheriffs on the interior and also at the border so that we can all come together and stand united to force these legislators down in Washington as well as the Biden administration to reinstate the rule of law and to secure that border so that we don't have to, you know, watch neighbors and so forth, you know, trying to wake up their kids that are never waking up because they've overdosed from the drugs that we knew were coming in and they did nothing about.
All right. Well, thank you, Sheriff. Thank you for taking time out of your weekend to join us today. I'm Holly Robichaud, filling in for Grace Curley. We'll be right back after this short break.
You can call her late for dinner. Just don't call her Gracie. It's the Grace Curley Show. Grace Curley. She's the cool kid at the lunch table.
I want a hamburger. No, a cheeseburger. I want a hot dog. I want a milkshake. I want potatoes.
You'll get nothing and like it.
This is the Grace Curley Show.
Thank you, Jared, for that nice patriotic music on this Memorial Day. Thank you for all of those who sacrificed so much for us, our freedoms, so we could be out here talking on the radio today. As we last set last section, we had Sheriff Hodgins on, and who is just every single day he is fighting. He goes beyond the call of duty to fight illegal immigration, and he understands what it's fundamentally transforming our nation. We're going to be pressing too for English. And what's going on down in D.C., the Biden administration is pretty much ignoring the crisis at the border. And I didn't think it was funny, but you have to start to think it's funny that Biden appointed Kamala Harris, the vice president, to oversee the crisis of the border. Even Fox for a while was like counting up the days that she hadn't gone to the border. They've given up. They've given up because she's not going to the border. She's not going to go and see what's happening down there. And if you've watched some of her, she's supposedly the person that's in charge of all of this. So she's come up with some ideas, some real doozies. And this is why, Jared, I think she's the dumbest person in the Biden administration. So the first idea she had was she wanted to give families that were thinking about going to the border and illegally crossing over, wanted to give them welfare so they'd stay put. Well, why wouldn't every single person in the entire world then say, oh, yeah, we're going to go. We're going to go illegally cross the border into the United States so we can get welfare money, right? Why wouldn't people do that? I mean, I thought that was about the dumbest idea I've ever heard. I mean, that's really dumb. That's really dumb. And then she comes out with another proposal. Yes, brace for it. This is the new idea. Kamala Harris is now asking corporations to create jobs in Honduras, Guatemala, and El Salvador to address, and I put this in air quotes, the root cause of illegal immigration. What? She wants to she wants these corporations to go create jobs in those countries to help the. I'm confused, right? Trump spent the last 4 years going, here's what we're going to do to get these corporations to bring their jobs back to the United States and get that taxable income, get these corporations back to the United States. And Harris and Biden are saying, we need to create more jobs overseas so that, no. It's a simple answer. I have a simple answer for them. Build the wall. Stop letting people illegally cross into our country. Pretty simple. We shouldn't be encouraging corporations to go to other countries to create jobs. That kind of defeats everything that Trump did to get our economy going. And the economy is kind of suffering right now. So she went after Microsoft, Nespro, and MasterCard, telling them that they should create Central American jobs. Does she not know Central America is not like Kansas? Does she think it's Kansas?
So their entire plan for corporations is, we're going to raise your taxes, we're going to make you pay your workers more, and we're going to make you create jobs in other countries.
Right.
That's a great idea.
Isn't it?
That's solid.
I saw this, this weekend, and I was like, this is like, they could make a movie, Dumb and Dumber, about her. I mean, this is the craziest thing. We want to encourage corporations to create jobs here, right? And when we create jobs here, and there's like competition for employers, for employees, like we're seeing right now. You've got some employers offering $1,000 bonuses to get people to work. What happens? Wages naturally go up, not with a government mandate, right? Wages naturally go up. And so, but what the Biden-Harris administration is doing is, no Keystone Pipeline. You corporations, we're going to tax you. And we want you to create the jobs in Central America. Now, the only reason why I think she's doing this is because I think she thinks Kansas and Oklahoma are part of Central America. That would be my guess, right? I mean, would that not be, that's the only reason why I can think that we get such a stupid idea. I mean, 180,000 people illegally crossed our borders in April. 180. How are we going to do this? Oh, they are driving me crazy. Well, I'm Holly Robichaud, filling in for Grace Curley. You want to stay tuned? We're going to be talking about election integrity when we come back. Don't miss it.